Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got all the issues, the local, the state, the national, covering down on all of it. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Hour number three on Hump Day, which means only one thing. We're going to have a moment of the Grand Council. So let me call the roll and see who's here. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, the host of his own show, The Jeff Poor Show, as well as being the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you with us?
I am present.
You are indeed on the phones today. Thank you for being here. All right, from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN out of Huntsville, and allegedly on other stations around the region, as well as writing for Yellowhammer News and all that. Dale Jackson, are you there? All right, you are present. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, Big Rig.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out there. Dale Jackson, you're first.
All right, so is this presidential debate ever going to actually happen? I don't believe it is, but what do you guys think? Is this actually being done to say, okay, we're going to have a presidential debate? Or to say, well, Biden wanted the debate, but Trump just couldn't meet the parameters.
I'm gonna hazard that they may have one, and then Biden's gonna cancel the second one. I just look at this and think this is. I mean, is Joe? By the way, which Joe Biden's gonna show up at the debate? Is it gonna be angry Joe? Is it gonna be confused Joe? Is it gonna be storyteller Joe? Uncle Joe?
I mean, did you read the preconditions?
Yes. I mean,
yeah,
like,
no audience, mute the mics. They get to pick the cable networks, all this stuff.
Does he have to have a seeing eye dog to get him off the stage and an IV of dementia cocktail? I don't know what's going to happen.
Pass a COVID test.
Exactly. weigh in, Jeff. What are we going to do? Are we going to have two debates or not?
I think probably. I mean, the second debate will happen under this. I mean, if it's close, if either one of these guys is out in front by a big lead, potentially Trump or Biden, there's no incentive. Like, it's no debate. So, because we've seen that before with Trump, and then Biden's never been in that situation where he's had a big lead. And I guess ever since even going back to his like presidential, vice presidential debates. So that's what I would look for.
Who are the moderators? Do we know who they're supposed to be or who's hosting it?
Dana Bash for CNN, and I don't know about the second one.
Oh my gosh! Okay, well, I don't know. I just look at it and think. Now I will say this: I think one of the ways that aside from the cheating and other things that happened, I think part of what hurt Trump in the final days of that last campaign was the yell at Biden debate, where he just wore him out, and everybody wanted him to wear him out, but he couldn't get it under control. He's got to be the different Trump on the stage. Your own question, Dale. What are you thinking?
I don't think it happens.
You don't think either one of them happened?
Nope, I don't think either one happens. I again, could be wrong, obviously. Huh. But I just don't see it. I mean, how are you going to put Joe Biden out there? And is Donald Trump going to agree to these terms where he can't have a crowd, where he can't, his mic will be cut, all this stuff? I just don't see that.
Well, he already did. He already accepted. He said, go for it.
He accepted, but they're no. He accepted. But they're still pretty far apart on the agreement for the actual debate.
Did you just no me on my own show?
I got to tell the truth. Alabama's most trusted journalist.
All right, Jeff. Next question. What do you got?
When Will Ainsworth saw Steve Marshall standing alongside Trump in New York City prior to his court trial hearing, what do you think he was thinking?
I'll be honest with you. You are politically astute and very savvy. That had not even occurred to me. That had not even. Wow. I think he was looking and thinking, curses. How do I hold a fundraiser for Trump at my house or something? I don't know. I just that's funny. So what you're saying there is you think that Steve Marshall is going to run for governor and he just got the Trump endorsement.
I don't know. Here's what I think probably happened. I mean, that's the fun, sexy storyline for us to talk about. But to ruin it, what probably happens is Tuberville stays in the Senate. Ainsworth is governor, and Marshall works for Trump in a Trump administration if he wins. I don't know if Trump loses, that's a different story. But That's what it feels like to me.
I could see that, but there's also some great U.S. attorney positions that are going to open up around the state. So that could also be a thing, you know, just looking at. Plus, here's the other thing, though, on a real basis, and this is what Marshall would probably say, is that he is actually the president of the Republican Attorneys General Association for the nation. So he's up there in his official capacity as the RAGA's, you know, president, I guess. But still, that does cause the politicos' heads to spin just a bit. You got any thoughts on it, Dale?
Well, I think that if this is going to be the race between Marshall and Ainsworth, Trump will remember that Marshall was standing there next to him. So I think that matters. So, yeah, maybe it is to get an endorsement.
That's funny. That is way funny. All right. My next question. Here we go. Ready? I'm going to bring it back home. So when Birmingham Southern announced that it was having financial difficulties to the point of bankruptcy, to the point of, oh God, please bail us out, there was all this talk about how it would be the ruination. If we don't bail them out with government dollars, it's going to be the ruination of Birmingham. That, you know, the Birmingham Southern campus is such an economic engine. We got to keep it. And then, you know, the whole thing about giving them free money from the state just fell apart. Well, we got word this past week that a $53 million offer from Alabama A&M has been made to just buy the campus, retain all the employees, and increase the number of students. So is there a lesson to be learned here? Is anybody going to learn it? That's my question, Jeff.
What the lesson to be learned is, if you want to be in higher ed, do it on the government teat, subsidizing it, and you're more likely to not go into default. But the Alabama A&M offer, guys, I don't know what to make of that. Wouldn't it seem like there'd be a turf war with Miles and even Alabama State for them to do that? But Birmingham Southern, just you don't overextend yourself if you're in the private higher ed.
Yeah, but I don't think Alabama State or Miles is going to have the financial wherewithal to be able to bring an offer to the table.
Alabama A&M? Like, it's not like they are.
All I know is they made an offer and they pre-qualified for it. So I don't know. They're going to name it the Dale Jackson Campus or something. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, here's what I know about Alabama A&M. They have more students than their housing can handle.
Yeah.
And their number one location for both alumni and students is what? Birmingham, Alabama. So it makes complete sense, because you could instantly shift some of those kids down there. I'm sure some of them would much rather go to Alabama A&M Birmingham. So it makes sense for them. And I think that, you know, the monetary issue, they clearly think they can swing it.
Yeah, but the lesson here, though, is that all the crying, all the reasons why we had to bail them out with pure tax dollars, is absolutely being washed away, and no one's talking about that. That's what's so aggravating, because for over a year we heard the plaintive cries of you know, the Birmingham Southern alumni, members of the legislature who wanted to give away state money. We thought we had a bill to give you $30 million. Then it was going to be a loan. You know, young Boozer stood in the gap. Our state treasurer, but go ahead.
Senator, Senator, it's my understanding that Alabama A&M wants to tap into some of that money that the state made available somehow.
Okay,
to make this work.
You just opened up a whole Pandora's box. All right, if you're telling me that they're going to go after that bill and try to borrow $30 million to do the $53 million buyout, then
I don't know that they were going.
Let me offer up a little bit of a caveat here. They are a state school.
Well, they are.
What I mean by that is Birmingham Southern is not. So this could still be a good investment if that money's there, like just there as it exists.
My original comment was, like, Alabama State's going to have to tap into something from the legislature to afford this. That's why I said Alabama State, Quentin Ross, do you think he's just going to let this happen? I mean, this is how these colleges operate. They're going to have to tap into some public money. Now, that's always been what I've heard, was that $30 million, maybe not in its entirety, but some element of it, they want to make available for Alabama A&M to pull this off. And I don't believe that the other HBCUs, public ones in the state, are going to be like, okay, go right ahead, Alabama A&M.
I don't know. I mean, Quentin Ross is certainly savvy. I mean, I spent time in the legislature with him, but I cannot imagine. I don't see the same level of political or financial acumen out of State or Miles that you got out of Alabama A&M. I don't see it. I just don't.
What do you mean by that? By exactly acumen?
Well, I don't think they have. I don't think they have the firepower to make it happen. Is what I'm trying to say.
They have a former state senator as their president, Alabama State.
I just finished saying I bragged on him, but I don't think they still got it. I don't think they do. I don't think they have. I could have Donald Trump as the president of Right Side Radio, but if we don't have enough money to buy a new studio, what am I going to do?
Where do you think Alabama A&M is going to get the money?
Well, you're telling me they're borrowing money from the state, which is news to me. But what I'm telling you is my understanding was it was going to be an endowment purchase. They were going to dig into their own coffers to make this happen. Is that not true?
Maybe so. But the early discussions I've heard of this was part of that $30 million they were going to need to be made available to pull this off.
That would be unique and different, and I want to see that. So maybe something like 1819 News will bird dog that thing for us. That'd be good. Take the story. Go for it, man.
None of the press releases lay out like a blow by blow of what happened, and I'm confused as to what the story is here.
Do you know Jeff? Did we lose Jeff?
You scared him away with the initial hard question.
There he is. Hey, Jeff, I'm sorry. You were cut off, but start over again.
The initial Algonquin press release called it a potentially politically motivated attack. And that's where that rhetoric got introduced. We, in 1819, tried to talk. We did talk to the Athens police. They gave us kind of a two-paragraph statement. Then they came out with a much longer statement later in the day and dismissing it, why? How do they know automatically right out of hand? But anyway, I still think it's possible, but why are we talking about it? Because it just seems like it could be. It happened in Marshall County like a month ago.
Marshall County with the guy that got scratched up by the.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's one of the craziest in the world right now.
That one was lit. That one was legit. I mean, that one was, she's actually pled guilty to that one. But in this case,
well, someone on this call had questioned the validity of it.
I absolutely did. And I was wrong and apologize to that guy personally. So
we could be wrong about this here too. I mean, we don't know. I'm not gonna. I mean, like giving a 30% chance or 20% chance of being true, I don't know. I don't even know where to start there.
I just think for it to be a road rage incident, which happens by itself, for it to be called politically motivated, they're going to have to do more than just say that she was actually volunteering at the Republican headquarters and right after that it happened. I think they're going to have to come out and say he said these things to her or he yelled something to her like a slur about politics. Because right now,
she had bumper stickers about Trump on her car or something. You know, they're not mutually exclusive. It could be a road rage and politically motivated potentially. It's weird, right?
It is weird.
Why are we in such a hurry to dismiss the potential of it being politically motivated?
It's easy because if it was politically motivated, we would be in a hurry to condemn. So if you can't confirm, then you have to say, well, then why don't we have more information about it? Why don't we have he said this, they said this, this is how it started. And so we got some horn honking and stuff like that. I don't know. The whole situation is terrible because somebody obviously got hurt.
Yeah.
And that's bad enough. But, I mean, are we trying to score points for no reason? And when you do that, just like when Jussie Smollett does stuff and then we call racism all the time, you know, their side does not call that out enough. So I think we on the right here are somewhat a little more sensitive to that and call out our own side more. That's what's happening.
How about this, though? I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
There's just one aspect of this. There is video of this.
The
parking lot. They have not released it. We don't know. But now maybe the Athens police do know. And they're, I'm not talking about you and I. I'm talking about them. Like, why are they in such a hurry to bat that down? Well, what does it matter to the Athens Police Department if it's politically motivated or not?
I they have to assign motive to something,
but I still look at it as a false narrative.
And
why would they put that in, guys? Why would they put that in a press release right after the Alabama Republican Party does theirs. Why did they feel that? Why did they have that desire or necessity to do that?
Did you ask them? Didn't that seem weird?
Yeah.
You asked them, though.
We're waiting on a response.
Okay. So, all right. All right. Well, then I want to know more. No, the bottom line is I want to know more on this. I do. I mean, this for them to say politically motivated, we got to know what that means. About a minute left here. Go ahead, Dale.
I was just going to say, I mean, the incident happened. The LGOP sent out their press release. 1819 News contacted Athens and said, Athens PD, and said, hey, what's this? And they said, you know, they gave a short statement and then a longer statement later on. And I think they're trying to dispel it because they're seeing stories being written about it that they believe are false. If as they are describing it, went down the way it did, then that's why they're so adamant to dispel it.
And they're maybe trying to defuse because it's a political environment that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. But it's still a red state. I mean, come on. And we already had the thing over in Marshall County, which Dale was a denier of. But there you go.
Attack denier, Dale Jackson.
Got a quick question for us. Jeff, what you got?
UAW vote this week. I'm starting to feel a little bit better about it. Even though what happened in Chattanooga happened. Just kind of spending some time in Tuscaloosa last week. I don't think it's necessarily a sure thing. What do you think?
Music's playing, but I don't think it's a sure thing. Dale?
I think it's more likely than not, but I'm hoping you guys are right.
All right. Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, appreciate you both. Thank you so much. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.